This NFL mock draft and best bets edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, golf, MLB, MMA, NHL, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
What's going on? This is Dwight Freeney, and you're listening to SGPN.
To the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green. With my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kram?
Dog.
In hindsight, I should have worn my Kevin Costner mask.
Oh, draft day. Yes.
Draft day is upon us.
Draft day is almost here. We got our live NFL draft stream coming up Thursday. A little watch party, giving away some SGPN gift cards. Having a couple cocktails, reacting live. It's going to be us, bunch of guys from the network, friends and family, calling in, reacting to their draft picks live. It's very fun.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the guest list, pretty loaded. Still some spots left though. So if you feel like you're qualified, let me know. I might reject you though.
It's good. I mean, shoot your shot.
It's a risk. Not only did I get rejected today. But as I told you the other day,
what'd you get rejected from?
Oh, someone turned me down because they had something better.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so you know, maybe there's a couple spots popped open.
Yes, a couple spots. It's fun. Fun.
It's complicated. Party. It's complicated. I don't know if I have a rose for everyone.
Oh wow. Well, Ryan, a lot to get to. We got our mock draft, and then at the end we'll also talk a little NBA playoff best bets. But we're gonna walk through do our consensus mock draft between Ryan and I, which was contentious in the office.
Consensus.
At first it was like alternating picks, and then Ryan got mad because some of my picks were way off the board. Oh, are you going to take this serious? Come on. So I think we came to a pretty good mock draft. We will release our written official individual mock drafts, but this is our official show mock draft, Ryan.
Yes.
There's a lot to get to. Also, some news we have to get to. You had thrown out the theory, and I was a little skeptical that the Chargers were maybe going to trade Justin Herbert to the Vikings.
A little skeptical?
Very skeptical.
You said it was ridiculous in not so many words.
Well, I still think if you're going to trade Justin Herbert, you would do it when you have a better chance, but
I did agree with that point as well.
According to CT ESPN, aka Antonio Brown's news network, he claims there's something to it. It's funny because DraftKings and FanDuel now have moved Chargers to draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
It went from 250-1 for their first selection to now 9-1. Hmm. Bet Online still has Chargers draft a quarterback with their first selection at 100-1.
As some sharps will tell you, you can't get down with enough liquidity there to have skin in the game.
So who knows, but certainly fun. We know it's draft season when stuff like that's floating around. And we got our first draft week trade breaking news.
Can we hear the Kramer cat, please?
Yes. And what's that for?
Zach Wilson.
Oh, the Cougar hunter himself. Zach Wilson, you remember? There is actually a TV show called MILF Manor. Zach Wilson maybe will end up on it one day.
The age variance in MILF Manor looks to be wide.
Yeah.
Wide range of outcomes.
It's again, if you watch any of those adult films, I'm very skeptical with what they call MILF sometimes. But Ryan.
Well, it's all relative, you know.
Some
are young mothers.
Yeah, that's true. And those are probably chicks that like to party.
Yeah.
Do you think this to me is, it ties it all together with the With the NFL draft coming up this week, do you think this impacts the Broncos' chances at getting a quarterback in the first round? Do you think, or the first two rounds? Do you think they thought, hey, we were trying to trade up to get a Drake May, to get a JJ McCarthy. Giants aren't budging. Cardinals aren't budging. We can't put together that package. Hey, screw it. We'll just get Zach Wilson.
What did I say?
Like, it's got to impact it at least a little bit. Now they basically gave up nothing. They're only paying Zach Wilson $2 million. So I think it makes sense taking a flyer on Zach Wilson. If there's anyone that has a chance to fix Zach Wilson, it might be Sean Payton. Again, nothing you've seen so far from Zach Wilson would make you super optimistic about him, but I still kind of hold out hope that he could be rehabilitated. I think everyone deserves an opportunity to play outside the Jets. I would love to see Zach Wilson with an offensive minded person as his head coach.
Yeah. You just want bullets. I think when the Giants signed Drew Lock, I said, this makes me feel more confident. They're going to end up with another quarterback out of the draft. And I just think it's a volume thing. I think you're picking up Zach Wilson for pennies on the dollar. Just like you said, maybe there's some value. Yeah. You know, I'm in the digital, I'm in the digital horse streets right now. And sometimes you find a diamond down there in the dumpster, but yeah. So I view this very similarly to the Drew Lock move in that the most likely outcome is that they produce nothing for this team and any other team going forward. But you have some level of arrogance in your ability to develop a quarterback, and you at least want to kick the tires before this player is out of the league. So
yeah, and
it also makes me feel confident they're taking they're not going to take a quarterback in the first round.
And I would say again, this is his first time playing for an offensive head coach.
That's a fair point.
Playing not for the Jets, and this is only a second team. I think when you get to the third, fourth team, the chances of it working all of a sudden go down in my mind. Right now, the Broncos quarterback room: Jarrett Stidham, Zach Wilson, Ben DiNucci.
Who's winning the start? Right now, who's the starter?
Oh man,
it's Stidham.
Is it? I think Ben DiNucci. No. But Zach Wilson showed me something in some of those Jets starts last year. I'm not going to lie.
I think it was
completely impartial. I would say Jarrett Stidham, but the fact that Peyton brought in Zach Wilson means he must think he can do something. Well, and I think Sean Peyton has an ego, and yes. What better? I mean, if you fix Zach Wilson, that is chef's kiss. Like, that is a work of art if you can fix Zach Wilson.
Yeah, he's a little different than some. I mean, you think about the quarterbacks that Sean Payton has had success with. He doesn't exactly map up to any of them, but sure. I think the Stidham first day of free agency signing shows me more interest than trading for him like randomly as the draft grows near and the garage sale is about to be over. Like, that to me, what this is like.
But that was also a year ago, yeah. Right? So we'll see.
But it was also on the first day of free agency.
No, that's true.
It was clearly like an intentful maneuver.
You know, I remember talking about it, thinking that Russell Wilson was on a pretty short leash. He did eventually get benched and they shipped his ass out of there and ate a massive cap hit in the process. So,
well, and that's the other interesting angle with this. I think people love to say about how the next class isn't as good as this class. But I do think from a cap perspective, the Broncos just sucking for another year and, you know, trying out Stidham and Zach Wilson and maybe going after next year's quarterback, because your cap is burnt for a couple years here. And so to get on the rookie contract thing now, you're almost kind of wasting it, because you're losing a full high paid quarterback. And so if you really want to think about it, if Peyton's really been given this crazy long leash, perhaps that's what this is signaling. And you'll see a Bo Nix maybe in the second round or something later. But that's about it.
Yeah. NFL teams, if this was the NBA, I would agree. But Sean Payton's a competitor. I don't think he's.
Well, you've heard the rumors. They're trading. He's willing to trade up with a king's ransom.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They're all in. I don't think this impacts their ability to get a quarterback, because I do think they're happy just tossing Ben DiNucci if needed.
I think I need to put out a top five things, like power rankings of things I would like the Giants to do, just so I can trade down is sneaky high. People are going to be surprised how high trade down is on my power ranking.
Really?
Things I want the Giants to do. If the Broncos want to give a King's rant, if the Vikings want to give up a King's ransom,
but don't you need a quarterback, Ryan?
I mean, you think I'm joking with my Drew Lock jersey that's coming.
Okay.
Daniel Jones still on the roster. Maybe they just needed that elite receiver to get him there.
Yeah, that's all that is missing with
Brock Bowers. Maybe that's the difference.
You have Darren Waller, right?
No, that's how you retire. That's how you get Darren Waller to admit he's retiring. Draft Brock Bowers.
All right, let's get into our mock draft.
Fine.
Of course, before we do, shout out to Underdog Fantasy. Love Underdog Fantasy with their pick'em, of course, everyone's favorite higher lower. And got some big news. If you're in the state of Florida, good news.
Oh,
they have Underdog Fantasy, their champions product. Again, Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Texas, and Canada. And the Champions product just launched, the player versus player format in Florida. So I know people were saying, hey, they wanted to get involved in the Underdog. We're in Florida. Now they do have access to the Champions product. You go to underdogfantasy.com, use the promo code SGPN. They will double your first deposit up to $100. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Kramer, mock drafts. And of course, this is us picking what we think they will do, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And was there any particular focus on getting the spot right or the team right when it comes to the picks?
I don't know. It seems like getting the spot right feels a little bit more like normal, because that if there are trades, you can't. I think the idea of predicting trades to fit your mock draft is stranger than just putting the player where you think they're going to get drafted, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're thinking about the team as we're making the pick, but I feel like I'm also thinking about where that player is probably going to go.
Yeah, I think the and I will be releasing my official mock. I think sometime tomorrow. Still working on brewing it up, but usually you get the most points for having the correct person to the correct team. So something to keep an eye on.
Well, what are we playing, a game, or are we trying to?
What?
No, I'm just saying. You're I see you now are gaming for the mocked. You didn't know about the scoring system last year.
No, before I did. You got what started. Do
you mean? You were locked in just on picking the draft.
No, come on.
They give you get less spots for getting the right spot, wrong team. Is what you're saying? Yeah, which is probably accurate. Accurate way to score it.
All right, let's get to it, Ryan. Number one overall, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. Very easy, very simple.
They
picked Caleb Williams. I mean, shout out to Caleb Williams. He was like the consensus number one if he came out last year and has hung on to that number one spot. It's kind of impressive that he did it, even though his this last year probably not as good as the year before, but still. Hats off, Caleb Williams, still a value pick at minus 10,000 or whatever.
Kind of a weird 20,000. Kind of a weird. Yeah, the college season certainly wasn't going to help him at all. But what could he possibly do at that point, really, to help himself? I think you can make that argument too. Bryce Young for Caleb Williams and a first round pick, the tackle last year. I mean, what a bad trade by the Panthers. What a bad trade.
Not looking good for the Panthers.
Right, number two. In spite of the top shot.
This is where the draft starts, Ryan.
It seems like something happened yesterday. It was a little blip in the matrix. Yesterday being, late last week, where we saw the blip in the matrix and Drake May popped his head up. And now the odds, like everyone was like, oh, okay, cool. More on Jaden Daniels. People have gone into great lengths to hyperanalyze what the Commanders decided to do with their group top shock activity.
Jaden Daniels, Ryan, is now back down to minus 450.
Yeah, no.
So we keep trying to explain this. Yeah, I mean, we keep trying to explain this in at the number two spot. If you've been following along, you should have Drake May at plus 350 and then Jaden Daniels at plus odds as well.
Or you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jaden.
Or maybe they go. Any chance they go JJ McCarthy, Ryan, and break the whole thing.
When you hear people try to say, I will say this, when you hear people talk about JJ McCarthy, it's like they're like sitting you down to explain something very complicated to you. Like, look, the regular football fan might not understand this, and it might take more film to get there.
JJ,
what does that mean? It might take more film to get there. Well, you don't watch all the film anyway. Like, what does that mean?
It means it takes a real.
We got a squint.
A real quarterback guru. A real
magic guy.
A real Potter, right? Like a real. I think JJ McCarthy appeals to guys who believe they can take raw products, raw prospect, and sculpt them and mold them into the quarterback they want.
I do think it is interesting that he's one of the young guys. So, but anyway,
so Jaden Daniels number two.
Jaden Daniels number two.
Kay.
It does seem well. Yeah, Jaden Daniels number two.
Number three, Washington Commanders, or sorry, New England Patriots select Drake May, quarterback, UNC.
It does seem like they like him. It does seem like they might like him more than Jaden Daniels. I will say, if you back to your JJ McCarthy two angle, like maybe you believe he could be the best air raid style quarterback. I don't know about that.
Well, and then also too, like everyone says, Drake May is a guy that maybe isn't ready to start day one.
Yeah, I think
they have Jacoby Brissett to help them start day one. I think May going three. I think if someone is trading up into the top three, it's to get Drake May here at three. So.
I think a lot of people view him still as the clear number. Like he was the only guy I think to any real outside of the fake TV quote unquote draft analysts. I didn't hear any like scouting type guys ever have Jaden Daniels near Caleb Williams. And Drake May was the guy that was like, all right, as a prospect, he actually can contend with them. So I do think plenty of NFL teams will want him at three. If New England wants to trade. Or if they want him, then they've gotten their guy. Cause I can't imagine like Jaden Daniels just doesn't strike me as a New England quarterback. Cold
he's
weather.
Black.
Mostly because it just seems like he's going to break in the cold.
Well, I would say there is,
he's not exactly like he's,
supposedly there's a Jaden Daniels, Jerod Mayo connection that has some people talking about the Patriots maybe taking Jaden.
Yeah, maybe. I think I want the cold weather quarterback. Give me the guy who's got an additional 30 pounds.
Well, yeah, Jaden Daniels played Arizona State, LSU.
He's also light. And, you know, you hear people talk about the thing that's concerning about Jaden Daniels is he likes to take a little contact, and he's a little too light to do that at the NFL level. And we saw this with AR-15. He liked to take a little contact too, and he's a big motherfucker. And he couldn't handle it.
I mean, I don't know how long Jaden Daniels is going to last in the league. I think.
So yeah, to that point, I do think Drake, like if I was putting those two guys together, that would be part of the handicap.
Yep.
And if you throw out like, well, what about a guy like who's the skinny guy? Who give me the skinny guy who has played seasons in the NFL and stayed healthy. I don't know. Who is it? I don't think there's a guy, not a skinny guy out there anyway. Pick four, Sean.
Pick four, Ryan. You kind of went off the board here.
I completely off the board. I complied with your request, and I will say that we watched a video of the Arizona GM work the phones last year.
Electric.
He's very alpha. I will say that. Gannon was in the room, just looking like a kid with a fucking dunce cap.
Yeah, I mean, remember that when there was that weird video of him like meeting Kyler Murray, and he got like the real big eyes going, a la. I mean, similar to what Daniel Jones press conference, where he's just like,
that's the same level of psycho, man. Yeah. In there, but it does seem like this could be a situation where. They decide that the smartest move is to take the generational tackle.
Yeah.
It's a deep receiver class. Maybe they get to that later because we know they have multiple picks in the first round. And so the idea that, and by the way, Joe Alt. So I wanted to dig into him because I felt like we've been slandering him a little bit with our talk of him being too tall and skinny. he was a tight end recently. Like, he's only been playing tackle for 3 or 4 seasons. So in fairness, that could be something that turns into even more. But yeah, to the point, if we're protecting Kyler, we're betting on Kyler.
Yep.
That's the move. You can certainly get down and win lots of money if this happens. Sean will be incessantly toutful.
If they draft him at 4, I think there's a chance they trade down and still get Joe Alt.
Based on that video we watched.
Yeah. So, but we'll officially give it Joe Alt to the Cardinals here at 4. Number 5, Ryan. Who do you got the Chargers take?
Well, I think you think about where Harbaugh came from in college. Big Ten, Marvin Harrison sitting there. I think he would be delighted to take
Maserati Marv. Now,
I feel Harbaugh's the kind of guy that would respect Marvin Harrison on a couple levels. One, definitely respects his dad, respects that he's been around the game, plays it the right way, and he does everything. He blocks, he runs the route. Like, he to me, if you're like Neighbors, I see a lot of people mocking them Neighbors. And I know we've discussed the idea that they just go off the board and take a tackle.
Yeah.
Because that
Fuaga,
that's what they want to do, but they got rid of all their weapons. They don't have, you need one weapon. And if you're going to have a system with one weapon, get the guy that can still get open in double teams. And that's Marvin Harrison to me.
Yeah. I mean, so assuming they are staying here, assuming Marvin Harrison is on the board, I see the case. I still think they're going to end up doing something related to the running game. But I would say that would involve them trading down quite a bit, but we're not doing trades in this mock draft. So I think good exercise, and certainly makes sense that they would select Marvin Harrison here.
Yeah. I would put my money on receiver or tackle. If they stay put, if they trade Herbert, then it's going to be a quarterback for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that would be bonkers, Ryan, if they, and yeah, if any of these long shot hits, it's going to be good times for old Sean Green, because you only need one of these, and I got about like 10 of them. So we'll see how they shake out. Ryan at number 6, get your jersey ready.
I'm ready.
JJ McCarthy goes to your New York Giants.
I thought you said no trades.
No.
I thought you said no trades.
No trades.
Okay. I would bet you. I'm happy to put the $200 you haven't paid me for the last bet.
It's in my to-do
that you lost. Well, I'm happy to do a double or nothing on the Giants position drafted here.
Oh, okay.
I do not think they're taking a quarterback.
Really?
I don't think they're taking a quarterback.
So what's the long-term plan? Punt another year?
I think they probably like one of the quarterbacks they can get later, and I think they're going to trade. I think they're going to take the receiver or trade down. I think if the receiver they like, which I unfortunately think is Neighbors, although I'm sure Harrison's high on their board as well. If Harrison or Neighbors is there, I would be shocked if they do anything but take the receiver. If they're if not, they're trading down. I don't think they'll take McCarthy. Now I'm not gonna be super upset if they do, but I don't think they're gonna take him. So yeah, JJ McCarthy
at number 6. Well. You're covered here if the Vikings trade up to number 6.
Well, that sounds like something
or,
that could happen.
Or if the Giants stay. I mean, it does seem, according to sources close to the situation, that the Vikings and the Giants were the teams most interested in JJ McCarthy.
Can you believe Joe Shane? He's very diabolical with his lies. Yeah, I think they trade down and maybe they go receiver cornerback.
See, I think everyone... there's too many teams that want to trade down, I think, is what the issue is.
Yeah, no, I think I would be surprised if they pass on Harrison Neighbors. All right, 7. Wow, JJ McCarthy goes 7. How does Nagels respond? 6. How does Nagels respond? Which I've been told he will be on the live the watch party. So the return of Nagels. The last time Nagels watched the draft with us live, Sean.
Oh man,
do you remember what happened?
Was it the Kadarius?
It was the Kadarius Tony year.
Oh, cannot wait.
He said it like a minute early, and everyone's like, "No, no one believed him." So you're full of shit.
Okay, so for number 7, Tennessee Titans select Talisa Fuaga. I think they go offensive line here. We already have Joe Alt gone in this version. And again, I think they're going all in, but they already did a ton with the skill position players. Why not? You're trying to build around with Levis. I think you need a stud offensive lineman as well.
Tone setter. I guess you could argue that he's not the polished pass blocker, but again, I think you have offensive line coaching in the building that probably thinks they'll be able to coach guys up. So I think what you're going to see here is like a, I feel like you're going to see a, them take just the guy who they want to represent, like the attitude of the team. And Buaga has that sick ass rat tail mullet thing. Wouldn't want to fuck with him. I love this pick. I'm going to be, we already have action on him to be top 10, him to be first offensive lineman taken.
I think I have him at 4, 5, and 6. So
I think the idea of taking Fuaga to even in a version where he goes overall as the first lineman, I'm really high, and we're seeing his price dip again, Sean. We're seeing the Joe Alt rest of the field kind of separate again. So
nice. All right, number 8, Atlanta Falcons on the clock. What do they do, Ryan?
Well, this is where we got, I think, a little silly, but it does seem like they're going to take a defensive player. But why has it got to be Dallas Turner? Now I've listened to a number of the kind of scheme fit nerds out there tell me that Dallas Turner might not be a fit for this Falcons system. But the guy who might be the fit is just fill up the middle with Byron Murphy.
Yeah.
Seems like the consensus, this guy, and you've seen it in the betting markets too, this guy is going to be potentially even a top 10 pick. We're having him go 8 to the Falcons here. Nice kind of building block for the future for the Falcons, who need a lot on the defensive side. And they've already spent a lot on the offense. Although there's still, in our version, we do Malik Nabers and Odunze are available. So they would be taking defense, or maybe there's a trade in the real thing. At this point.
They got Drake London, Ryan. That guy's a first round fantasy player.
I think people view these receivers as like best of many classes type level.
Byron Murphy, I think, is a fun. You can get him like first defensive lineman, 5-1. I would not be shocked. I don't think the Dallas Turner huge favorite. At least I was in the betting market, and now the other guy, Latu, to be the first defensive player. It seems to be tightening up a bunch. Latu, the edge rusher from UCLA, he had like a neck fusion thing that was causing a bunch of concern, but now apparently his medicals are clean. So look for him to kind of skyrocket up draft boards.
I think there's a number of guys on the defense. Like, I don't think Dallas Turner is this elite guy. I think he popped for some reason. People like he went all the way up where it's like, oh, he could go really early. And then it's kind of reeled back into the crowd of whether it's Latu or some of the D tackles, the kid out of Illinois, I'm blanking on his name, but yeah, I definitely think you want to bet into the fade Dallas Turner market.
Number 9, Chicago Bears, second pick. What are they doing, Ryan?
So both receivers, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunes or Dunze on the board. It's definitely not Romy. I know that. You got to take it. This is great. If you're a Bears fan, you are so erect right now when they put in the card for Roma Dunze. I do think he's the guy. I could see them going Nabers here, but again, cold weather team. I want the guy who's 6'3", 220. He's a hell of a blocker. He's a contested catch guy. I know he doesn't quite open the offense like maybe Nabers could, but I wonder. I don't really. Yeah, so we'll just say Odunze, I think, has a chance to go. I don't know if I think he has a chance to go first of the receivers, but I definitely think him going to Chicago here in this range makes a lot of sense.
Him to be the second receiver.
What's that priced?
That's interesting. I'll look that up. But I think there's a chance he could go number one, but not. We'll see what I forget what the price is on it.
But. And if you think about it, right? They brought in Keenan Allen. He's going to run. He's going to play in the slot anyway. So
he was 40-1 to be the first receiver drafted. He's down to 25-1. I don't know if I quite like it there, but him to be the second receiver is plus 300, 3-1. That's kind of a fun.
Well, and I think again, I think Odun. I think the key here is that it does seem like he could maybe fit the like what the Bears offense need
yeah.
a little bit more. Maybe I could be overthinking that one.
Number 10, Ryan, New York Jets on the clock, and they select
JC. We might be not doing what we were doing what the GM wants to do. JC Latham. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is putting the card in or what, but they have to take the lineman, right? The quarterback got hurt last year. The line was a disaster. They signed Mike Williams. They're not going to actually, if Malik Nabers is sitting here, do they take him? I've heard a lot of positive things about JC Latham out of Alabama of late. So I do think he definitely has a chance.
I think Aaron Rodgers could sign off on a offensive tackle. I think he would allow it. I mean, you know, they're just getting they off that to. Becton disaster. Yeah. Like
they have to.
Yeah. And Joe Douglas comes from the Philly coach or, you know, GM tree, which says you draft offensive line in the first round. So
this will be a fun pick to see what happens.
And everyone has him going Brock Bowers. So a little contrarian there, Ryan. Number 11. What do we have here with the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, you said no trades, but it seems like based on this mock draft, when the Vikings turn in the card for Malik Nabers, that all along the Giants and the Vikings were just hiding a trade that they're about to announce.
Oh, okay.
Where the Giants end up with Malik Nabers. I mean, you said they need more weapons. I think also, I mean, Minnesota has to take a quarterback. But with the top four guys gone, maybe they figure, hey, we have a pick at 23. Maybe we grab it there. Maybe we trade back a little bit more and settle on a Spencer Rattler, a Bo Nix.
Well, I don't know if they.
You think they go into this? So they're another team that could. You know, I think they have some cap issues. They're going to get hit with a penalty, like you were early reporting on the tampering. That's pretty hilarious to tamper for Kirk Cousins.
No, and we'll see what that ends up being if it has any impact on their first round pick. But maybe it doesn't impact their first round. But maybe let's say they lose like a third round pick or some potential draft capital that might be the difference in them in their ability to trade up. I think that is actually a real issue that could happen. It'll be interesting to see if it's announced before the draft. There was I just sent you a recent story about it possibly impacting Thursday's pick. So we'll see if they do something between now and then.
Yeah. And just like when you look at dead cap money, guess who's number one for this season right now? It's actually shocking because it's not actually the Broncos. It's the Vikings. So what does that tell me? I mean, that tells me that. Could they be one of the teams that maybe they're being sneaky? Maybe they aren't going to draft the quarterback this year.
No, or they could go second pick in this one. I don't know.
You like that?
There's a lot of potential outs. Okay, so we have Malik Nabers going to the Vikings at 11. Number 12, Denver Broncos. A lot of people think they go Bo Nix here, but they just traded for Zach Wilson. What are they doing here, Ryan?
Who needs Bo Nix when you got Zach Wilson coming to town? They're getting, like you mentioned, the neck seems like it's all good with the UCLA pass rusher Latu. So they put in the card for him. I think there's, from what I understand, there's a decent amount of like just below top shelf pass rushers in this draft. I think this becomes a what do you like more in terms of stylistically. I think in terms of the edge, some people view him as the top guy. And if what you're saying is true about the medical, then no reason why he wouldn't go above Verse and maybe even Dallas Turner. So Sean Payton knows that he can't just
Sean Payton, you know, likes Bo Nix, and maybe they'll wait till the second round where they think they can still get him there.
If he hasn't given up the King, I don't think they have a second round pick. I think that's the trick.
No, but maybe they trade something to get.
So currently they have a first, a third, a fourth, two, three fifths, a sixth, and a seventh. So perhaps they trade something in the future to get. I think there is a chance what I just said is true, and the reason their win total is so low is because someone knows something about how they're actually just going to tank this year and on to next year. Seems unlikely though.
No,
but it's the football. It's the NFL. All right. Latu goes 12 to the Broncos. Can't ever have enough pass rusher. Sean 13, Las Vegas, Antonio Pierce. What's he trying to do with the football?
Run the damn ball. Yeah. So I think Penix is certainly an option here, but we have them taking Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State. Again, they also, you need a good offensive line. If you're ever going to give Gardner Minshew. If you want Gardner Minshew to have a chance in this league, you need to give him an offensive line.
And I think this is the range where everyone seems to think like all of these linemen are good enough to be like in the 10 to 20 range. Yeah. And so expect to see a little bit of a run. New Orleans up next, another team that could go tackle, also could go on the defensive side edge. We got him going. Dallas Turner.
So Dallas Turner seems to be the loser from our mock draft, Ryan. Everyone has him going number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's the odd man out here, slipping to 14.
So probably. What did we do different though? What did, like, Bears?
Yeah,
we didn't have take a defensive player, and
well, we just didn't have him Vikings be the first defensive player, really.
Yeah, I guess. Which I don't think is that crazy.
No, him being the third defensive player, I think, is very well in the realm of possibility. And Byron Murphy, you know, by all accounts, your Daniel Jeremiah's, your Adam Schefter's, who have talked to people saying like, hey, Byron Murphy is the sleeper of this group. Todd McShay had him as the first defensive lineman drafted. So I think the buzz is legitimate for Byron Murphy.
When all the top draft guys are saying something, you should listen.
And also too, Dallas Turner, it was never, hey, he was just the dominant guy. It was, well, Latu has the neck thing, and Byron Murphy, I forget what the knock was on him, but it wasn't a, cause Dallas Turner was so awesome. It was almost by default. So him going to number 3 is probably one of our more contrarian items here in the mock, but it seems very doable.
Yeah. And New Orleans just taking a pass rusher in the, who knows what New Orleans will do. They're always a little bit of a wild card, but I like them taking the edge. All right. Colts are up.
Number 15, the Colts select Brock Bowers. Love this selection here for the Indianapolis Colts. Again, coming from the, offense coming from Philadelphia, which values the tight end. I think imagine Anthony Richardson with Brock Bowers. That just seems like a great, they play in a dome. It's like a perfect Brock Bowers setup here, coming from the Georgia Dome, Ryan, where he was just great at getting open in a dome on that turf. I think this makes a ton of sense for the Colts.
What's the angle here, betting wise, though? Like, how do you play this? Because I've been thinking about this. We jokingly wanted to give him to the Titans at 7. His draft position's 11.5. Do we just say Colts? Like, do we play the Colts market? Is that the move?
So Colts to draft the tight end first is plus 370.
And I would wonder. I wonder if we can find the specific player to get drafted by, because to me that's the, that would be the way that you, because you're probably not getting, I mean, tight end. That's
Ryan. We could, this is insane though. You could take Brock Bowers as the second tight end selected. What do you think the odds are on that?
Same as Caleb Williams. The
150-1. That's kind of crazy.
I mean, I do like the Sinet kid out of Kansas State.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm gonna get slippery with it. All right. Yeah, I would say the Colts taking a tight end is a fun way to play this, right?
Yeah, I think they're definitely interested in Brock Bowers and
per producer Josh, the Bowers to the Colts price is 350. The tight end price is 370. I actually see a 380 over here at FanDuel. So yeah, I mean, definitely shop around. But there you go. How tight you can get tight end for a better price than Bowers? Which one you taking, Sean?
I'm taking tight end.
Yeah, there you
go. Why would you not?
It was a trick question.
Okay, thank you.
Seattle
trying to trick me, right?
Seattle Seahawks are on the clock.
Hey, before we get to Seattle and their pick, of course, make sure you check out Unified, our pick when it comes to getting healthy, whether you're a world-class athlete like me or a world-class podcaster like me. We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being, proper recovery for top-notch performance. I mean, we're talking about top-notch athletes. I'm sure they would all benefit from a little Unified healing. Makes perfect sense why Unified Healing is sponsoring our mock draft episode. Unified Healing is a new super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of an EE System yet, you want to listen up. The technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, rejuvenation. Whether you're here in LA or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SGPN to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SGPN. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system. Ryan, Seahawks, what are they doing?
Well, if you tuned out a little bit, they signed Ryan Grubb to be their offensive coordinator. Where did he come from? University of Washington, where the next pick for the Seattle Seahawks, Fatnu, versatile offensive lineman, can play across the entire line. Ryan Grubb, when asked about Fatnu, quote, special dude, versatility at the max. I think, in fact, when Fatnu in 2022, when he said he's going to stay another year with the Washington Huskies, Ryan Grubb said that was the biggest offseason move they had. So I love the idea of them bringing him in here at number 16.
Get on the line. Home,
they brought in Sam Howell. They could go after Michael Penix later. Yeah. They already have the receivers. I mean, it does seem like offensive line, like they're one of the teams that's pretty easy to give them either offensive line or maybe cornerback. So yeah, I like the pick here. Reunite Fatnu with his offensive coordinator.
17, Ryan, Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock. Wow. What do we got him doing?
They're going to take the Alabama corner Arnold. I think it's receiver or cornerback for them. It did seem like they wanted to sign Calvin Ridley, but boy, they need help on the back end of this defense. I mean, it's totally not Trevor Lawrence's fault that they lose all these games.
No, Goldilocks cannot be blamed. Yeah, I this one, Jags are kind of interesting because you could build a case for a lot of positions for them, but
top corner at 17.
Yeah, if you're at 17, you're the Jags and you have the chance to get the number one cornerback on your board. This feels like a good, probably one of their top players meets a need. So Terrion Arnold at 17 feels like it makes a lot of sense.
This was kind of like a coin flip. I think certainly Mitchell could be the first corner taken, but there does seem to be a little bit more interest. I don't know. Plus SEC country, Sean. They know about the hot tub.
SEC.
All right, 18. Bengals on the clock.
Jerzan Johnny Newton, defensive lineman for Illinois. Again, Bengals could use some pass rush. It's always nice to be able to get some interior pass rush. He's a guy, Johnny Newton, that I could see going as high as maybe even as high as like top 10 with the Chicago Bears at 9. There's a lot of reports linking him. He could be like a dark horse first defensive player selected. I think it kind of depends on your scheme, but if he's available for the Bengals, who you're playing teams like the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs, like the, you know, Patty Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, you need good interior pass rush. I think he makes a ton of sense.
I think you sprinkle Byron Murphy and Newton to be first defensive player taken.
I like
to me, cause I think they both fit that Atlanta, Chicago. Like, so if the draft goes different and the receivers are already taken. Yeah, I definitely think both those guys are in the range of getting drafted over the edges for certain. All right. Speaking of which, the Rams with the 19th pick take Jared Verse. Sean's been high on him. Big try hard. Going from the old Albany. I saw a Great Dane the other day down there to Florida State, opting back into football when he could have easily opted out. Seems kind of like a Sean McVay type of guy. They did lose Aaron Donald in the offseason. They have to imagine they replace on the defensive line here. The offense seems fairly, you know, Kyren Williams, the receivers that they spent in free agency in the tight end. Maybe you can get wonky with a quarterback pick here. But I think they go defense. Jared Verse, edge out of Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for pass rusher for what almost any team, right? They're always looking to add to it.
I think so. I think it's one of those things where you don't often they're not often free agents. Same with receivers. It's hard to get them.
You know, yeah, I mean, Sean McVay taught his dog tricks. Why not teach a Great Dane a trick or two, Ryan, with Jared Verse? I can totally see it. Well, and Rams.
He didn't teach any tricks to his dog.
Rams are a fun. If you want to go crazy, like long shot stuff with the Rams too, I think it's interesting because we have no history on the Rams.
Yeah.
Sean McVay has never made a first round pick. So this is the first year. So I think anything is kind of on the table with no history.
Defensive line edge to the Rams at +160. That feels like a good bet. Offensive line is +130. I think they go defensive line before they go offensive line.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a strong take. I would lean to any sort of longer odd stuff with the Rams just because I think it's a total toss up. Like them taking an offensive lineman to keep Matt Stafford up for one
it's
more
deep
year.
Though they'll feel like they have a guy in the second round they can go. That would be my take on that. All right. 20 Pittsburgh. We jokingly, it seems like they telegraph their pick every time. We're going to give him the Maction kid out of Toledo,
fellow Midwest guy,
Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback who I think he very easily could be the first corner. I got one of those tickets in my pocket. I do think he's a little bit more physical, a little bit more length. And honestly, if you read the nerds that went down to the, I don't mean to say going to the Senior Bowl is a nerd activity, but the whole fantasy community has kind of adopted that as one of their like meet and greets. He was the dog of practices. Dog. So I mean, certainly it seems like a Tomlin guy
for sure. And we gave it out, or I think I gave it out early on in the process, but it's still available. Steelers to draft a cornerback with their first selection at 6-1 feels like a really, really good price. Now they're favored to take O-lineman, but I don't know in this version of the mock draft, what have we done that feels so crazy that the Steelers should be -350 to select an offensive lineman.
Especially if the cornerbacks slip and you know they pick at 51 in the second round. I think Arthur Smith will probably have some like grunty guard type that he likes in the second or third round, and they'll be fine with it. So yeah, I think. Come on, this is the look at your division. You gotta be able to throw some. They still had problems with defending the pass last year. It was
argue it was the weakness. You're defending Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and well, I guess Deshaun Watson. But still, I mean, you got to worry about Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. Deshaun Watson will take care of himself.
This is Deshaun Watson's.
If he did take care of himself, probably could have avoided a lot of problems, a lot of headaches for himself.
You have to know when to come.
I think it was actually muscular, not headaches. That was the reason he was going to those establishments.
All 21, right. Ryan. The Dolphins are on the clock. What are we doing here?
All right. So the Dolphins lost key players everywhere.
But yeah.
Especially along the offensive and defensive line. I don't know how you come out of this draft without a number at both positions. I think if Byron Murphy or Newton make it here, I think that's the pick. I think they replace Christian walking with whoever the interior defensive lineman that makes it down to him. Otherwise, it's got to be a lineman. I think some people are replacing it with like an interior guy just because they lost the guard. But I think they need a tackle too. And Mims is this Adonis
from Georgia,
this god
right down the street there.
6'8", 340 pounds. He's running like 4.4s or whatever.
I mean, look, Tua is definitely a guy you don't want taking any shots. I mean, if your entire season revolves around Tua not getting a concussion, I think you need to do everything you can to protect him. So it does seem like they're going to eventually pay him as well. You need to build around him. Mims crosses a lot of boxes for the Dolphins. So yeah, let's lock it up.
I was trying to pull up his actual 40 time. So he ran a 5.07 40 at 6.8 343. That's insane. It's a large man.
And they actually said, as weird as it sounds, 40 time for offensive linemen is one of the more like predictable traits. Like if you actually run a good 40, you're going to do well in the league.
It's like an athleticism thing.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because they're never really running 40 yards, but they're saying that's what matters.
You need to be able to. All right. Have you even sniffed a bet on the Dolphins in terms of draft bets?
Me? No, I haven't done anything with the Dolphins.
offensive lineman for them is -195. So
yeah, I don't know. Maybe they go receiver, add strength on strength, but
the receiver's 9-1, cornerback's 9-1, edge defensive lineman's 250. Maybe yeah, I think they take the offensive lineman. Nothing fun to do there. All right, next up we got your Philadelphia Eagles, Sean, on the clock, 22nd pick in the first round. Assume they haven't traded up or down. Every mock draft I've seen gives them a cornerback, Sean.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
I wouldn't be surprised if they go D line here, but again, we had them taking. So I think
if it falls this way, do you think there's a D lineman they could go?
No. Well, okay. So I would say, okay, of the usually they bring in. I don't have the history off the top of my head, but generally their first round pick is someone they brought in for a top 30 visit. Latu and Chop Robinson are the only defensive linemen that are up this high that they would maybe draft in this position. In our scenario, we have already Latu gone. I don't know if they like Chop Robinson enough here at 22. I think Chop Robinson, I don't know. He's a pretty big variance guy, but Cooper DeJean is available. They did bring him in. Obviously, they have a need at cornerback. White cornerback could become a Philly legend. I think they go Cooper DeJean here if he's available. This is interesting. A lot of people had him tied to Kool-Aid McKinstry as well. Could see that. I don't think who's the why am I blanking? Who's the ACC cornerback?
Wiggins out of Clemson.
Who I said that I don't think they will draft. They have not brought him in for a top 30 visit. I don't think they're taking an ACC
cornerback. Dude, he's like 170 pounds too. He's very skinny.
Yeah, he just doesn't fit their profile. So I would say not Wiggins, even though he's available. I think Cooper DeJean or Kool-Aid would be possibly taken here in this situation. So Cooper DeJean.
Do you think there's a good chance they make a trade? Seems like he generally trades a little bit.
He likes a little trading, and they
a little bit, a couple spots maybe.
They have 2 second-round picks, so I wouldn't be surprised if they jump up a couple spots. Nothing crazy though.
In this draft, if just someone like Jared Verse actually falls, you think that they're trading up a couple picks there to get a guy like that?
He wasn't on their top 30 visit list, so no.
I think they're going to take the cornerback.
It's certainly possible. Again,
although the offensive line feels like the smarter pick,
I think at 2-1 or +220 edge, defensive line edge does kind of make sense as like a value play. But
what's offensive line if you're looking at it? You're not looking at it.
It's I think off the top of my head, it's very close. It's like
All right, 175 offensive line, cornerback 135, defensive lineman edge 220. I mean, odds I'm looking at. So interesting. I'd probably of those three, I'd probably take offensive. Well, I don't know. That's cornerback.
They just extended. I don't know. They feel pretty good with their O line right now.
Yeah, but they always do.
But they have 2 second-round picks, so they'll get an offensive lineman there. Would be by 2 cents.
All right, next up, Minnesota with a second pick in the first round, thanks to the Cleveland Browns. They take their quarterback, Sean.
Let's go.
Michael Penix. He is a lefty. Hopefully that's not going to create any problems for Justin Jefferson catching the different. You know how many stories we'll read about Justin Jefferson catching the different spin of the ball?
They'll be all over it, Ryan.
You have any comments for this pick?
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I don't know. This is just kind of how it shook out here for us. I still think they're obviously going to be in the mix for JJ McCarthy. It does feel like it's them and the Giants. But if they don't get him, I think they definitely could talk themselves into Michael Penix Jr. And maybe they don't have to take him here. Maybe they can get him in the second round. But yeah, I could see them talking themselves into Michael Penix Jr. for sure.
Do you remember how the Vikings got this pick?
No.
It was Houston traded the first round pick Houston traded to Minnesota came from the Deshaun Watson trade.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
well, Ryan, CBS Sports has Vikings trading up for surprise quarterback in their mock draft.
Yeah. We'll see. They seem desperate to trade up. So I guess
they did hold a private workout with him. So he's definitely on their radar.
But to the point you've made, we've more recently found out that it was Houston looking for more second round picks.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. So, yeah. And it does seem like if one of the quarterbacks is going to sneak into the first round, it's going to be Penix over Knicks. Cowboys on the clock. Disgusting. I think they trade down.
That is a disgusting act.
No trade. So we have them take the most Cowboys guy possible. Graham Barton. You can see him wearing boat shoes right now. I think center guard out of Duke. Some think he can play tackle. Maybe another versatile guy.
Jerry Jones would love the idea of drafting a Duke guy, but I Kramer gave it out.
Well, he's an Arkansas guy. I don't know if that's definitely true.
I'm co-signing it. I do think them to go draft a running back first is certainly a possibility. Now maybe it involves them trading down. Maybe not.
I wish anyone
that thinks they're smarter than the rest of the NFL, not close, it's the Dallas
These
Cowboys.
Prospects aren't close to the first round. That's the problem. So I wish there was a guy because they would take him. But Cowboys take a lineman. That's probably what they need too. As much as I hate to pay the Cowboys compliment, Sean, they generally have done okay on draft night, as long as Jerry's not at the wheel, and maybe he's distracted enough by Coach Cal in Arkansas right now. He's out there at fucking making NIL trips, trying to recruit kids to Arkansas. Graham Barton, Duke, Green Bay on the clock, Sean.
Yes, Green Bay on the clock, and they select the ACC cornerback Nate Wiggins here. You could use some cornerback help. It just seems like a kind of a consensus pick here for the Packers. A lot of people have mocking them there. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of makes sense. Maybe they go Kool-Aid, but I think Nate Wiggins makes sense for them.
To me, they strike me as a team that could trade out. They could also to me, it's offensive line, it's cornerback, or they're trading back. So if you're betting on the Packers, like I don't think there's a ton of things they're going to do here. Offensive line's -180, cornerbacks +260. I think if they're picking at this spot, that's what it's going to be. If not, they're trading out because someone's wanting to come up for a receiver or something like that.
It is, but every fan base in the first round is talking about how they should trade down, they should trade out. I think it's going to be a buyer's market.
It's the NBA vibes that have infiltrated the NFL. Yeah, tank for next year. Process.
Yep, we're not. This is a rebuilding year. Fuck it.
Back-to-back picks by teams from the Bay, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and we have them taking Chop Robinson out of Penn State, edge rusher. Yeah, they still coached up by a defensive guy.
Do they need offense? Maybe line.
Yeah.
I think Tampa in general is just they're one of the who's making the pick. Odds suggest defensive lineman just barely favored over offensive line, but cornerbacks in the mix too, as is wide receiver. So a little bit 40, more variance.
Yeah. 41% of the mocks have them taking, Chop Robinson here. So we'll keep it chalky.
Chalk down the board.
It is tough. Picking this late because there's like so many things that have to happen, right? Who's available? What are they doing? Chop Robinson.
I think he's viewed as a first round guy. So I guess at this point, maybe you're seeing him as a little value.
And most people have him a little higher. So, I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Cardinals passed on the receiver with the first pick. And everyone killed the Texans last year with giving up that pick that was going to be so high in the draft. Well, it's all the way down here at 27. Cardinals use it on the receiver here. Brian Thomas Jr., the other guy that Jaden Daniels was catching passes or Jaden Daniels was throwing passes to down there at LSU. Seems like he's going to be the consensus four, I think, in the receiver class. Although who knows, there's a couple guys in here that I think we're about to talk about one of them. So Brian Thomas Jr. seems like the pick. It seems like they're going to get a receiver, whether it's with their first pick or their second pick here. Maybe they trade down, Sean, potentially have some.
Yeah.
every pick down here, we're going to be talking about the Bo Nix trade up or some scenario like that. So yeah, Arizona, this would this, if they did this in the draft, Sean, would your grade be an A?
I think so. Yeah. Now, yeah, 100%. They need offensive lineman. They need receiver. They do it. They get two pretty good prospects here.
And to me, they're probably going to be able to also trade down and pick up more and do the same thing. So,
yeah, I think they would be pretty happy with this. So Brian Thomas Jr., pretty good prospect. Get him here at the end of the first round. Makes a ton of sense.
Bills
also could use some receiver help. Obviously they got rid of Stephon Diggs, Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Again, another one of these prospects right on the edge, getting into the first round. Maybe they like Brian Thomas a little bit more. A
lot of buzz about Mitchell being a first round talent. Definitely, you know, the idea of Mitchell versus Worthy being teammates. I think it's pretty clear now that Mitchell has a much better chance of being a first round pick over the very light Xavier Worthy. That would be my take. Now you want to play the teammate competition game. And if you can still find head to heads that aren't crazy, I think it's a lock that Mitchell goes before Worthy.
Really? Yeah. Even with that speed that Worthy has.
Dude, he's 168 pounds.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying speed.
How many guys have been?
I mean, the Raiders could draft Xavier Worthy.
But how many guys not named Devonta Smith who like came out with elite route running and all this other stuff wasn't just a speed guy? Also concerning, Worthy's best year was in 2022, not 2023. So
yeah, you're bringing up great points of why he's not going to be a pro, a great player, but that doesn't stop these guys from getting drafted in the first round.
I'm just telling you why I think Mitchell gets drafted ahead of him. That's the context we're talking
about. Yeah, but you're talking sense, Ryan. You know how these GMs, they see that speed, they see that 40 time.
You know what? If
their eyes start getting big.
Maybe I'll get that listed. I think Mitchell versus, if you can find Mitchell versus Worthy and you're not having to lay like minus 200, I think that's a great bet. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's a little closer, but Adonai Mitchell.
Well, so let's just, I mean, that Mitchell going to the Bills. I mean,
Bills can take Worthy.
I just think you want a better
Josh Allen and that cannon, Ryan.
Just think you want an actual receiver. You got some gadget guys. You need an actual receiver. You need an alpha. So you need the guy.
Again,
you need to draft
again,
the guy you think's
Ryan,
an alpha.
This is the mock draft. Don't confuse what you should do,
but they went and got Diggs last time. He was the alpha. He wasn't some speed gadget.
Yeah, and it didn't work out.
Well, it worked for a couple of years.
Did it?
He was one of the best receivers. Yes, it did work. All right, Detroit, the Lions.
Detroit. We have them going cornerback here again. Detroit's a pretty interesting wild card. We have them drafting Kool-Aid McKinstry here, cornerback out of Alabama. The knock on him was that his senior year was kind of worse than his junior year, and he probably should have come out a year ahead.
That didn't. I don't think that will matter to Dan Campbell.
No. I can see Dan Campbell taking a guy like Kool-Aid and having fun with the name Kool-Aid. I also think because they are such a
smash through a wall to draft him.
I think again because they are such a wild card. They could be interesting for some of these longer shot stuff. They're 20 to one to take a safety. There's a safety out of Minnesota that has been getting some hype. And I would say if you're Dan Campbell, you could never have too many good linebackers. I did play them at 50 to one to draft a linebacker with their first selection. Edgerrin Cooper, Ryan, Texas A&M linebacker. There's a chance he would sneak into the first round.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think the longest shot I'd be willing to go. I mean, I think your safety angle's interesting. I have some, but if you personally can find me a first safety drafted market, I would love to. I have some interest there, but yeah, I think they go cornerback. I think the odds, that's the chalk. It makes sense. They need help on the back end. So safety, I don't mind that sprinkle. That's a nice 20 to one sprinkle you got there.
Yep.
It's in the same general category of player. They need help there. Baltimore Ravens select. I've seen a number of, and you even suggested this, a number of mocks suggesting they're going to draft some sort of speedy receiver,
Xavier Worthy, like
Franklin out of Oregon. I just, it doesn't strike me as they're going to add another underweight speedy guy. So I think they do what they often do, which is take value, take best player available. And I'm going to guess that they're going to view one of these tackles that's still available as a good value here at the end of the first round. So Tyler Guyton.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is
at Oklahoma.
Maybe they like Jordan Morgan better. It's like the offensive line is really,
maybe they trade back.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like the
it's like the free agency destination gimmick where everyone's best spot is the Chiefs.
Well, again, the offensive line was, I think, the hardest thing and probably going to be the hardest thing to get right for these mock drafts, is because it does seem like this is a very good class in the first round, especially for offensive linemen. And if you look at the odds, a lot of teams are supposedly going to be getting these offensive linemen. I mean, the over under is 9.5. So to be able to get those, to match the right team to the right offensive lineman, is going to be tough. And that's really where I think if you're going to win the mock draft challenge, shout out to me, one last year round. I don't like to bring it up.
I know.
We didn't even bring in my banner for, we'll save it for the live draft stream.
Probably better that way.
So yes, we have Tyler Guyton going to the Baltimore Ravens. Then 31, Ryan, San Francisco 49ers. What do the 49ers do? Could use a quarterback. Could use.
We had them going tackle as well. Bo Nix was. They almost handed in the card for Bo Nix here, looking for a quarterback of the future. But Jordan Morgan, tackle out of Arizona. I mean, again,
well, Trent Williams isn't getting any younger. He's had a ton of injury issues. I think they are a. Or I was just laughing, remembering the Trey Lance trade up. They're an organization that.
Well, in hindsight, honestly, would it have been funnier if the trade up was for Mac Jones or Trey Lance?
Well, as bad as Trey Lance is,
I mean, they didn't give him a fair shake.
Mac Jones has done way better than Trey Lance, way better.
But he also has been discarded by his team. So either way, if they had traded up, like, they would have already gotten rid of both guys. That's a pretty remarkable miss.
Well, like, Jones took him to the playoffs at least.
I'm just saying, imagine trading up, and either way, you would have been horribly wrong.
And he was so bad they didn't even give him a shot, which is crazy with Trey Lance. Mac Jones at least earned the right to start.
I know. It's very perplexing. Jordan Morgan, tackle Arizona, San Francisco, smart roster build right there. All right, Kansas City, last pick. What did they just lose? They big news, franchise tagged Mr. Snead. He walks out the door to take a nice deal because the Chiefs needed to reset the cornerback, go back to saving a couple bucks. They're constantly cycling in rookie cornerback. Sean, I gave out Chiefs first player drafted to be a cornerback at plus 650. It feels like a couple moons ago. It's now plus 850. What are we doing here?
Well, it's everyone just sees, oh, Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. Oh, they have to draft a cornerback. Like, what have you ever seen from the Chiefs that they're in panic mode? And also too, like, this is a team that drafted Tyreek Hill. They know how to deal with off the field issues. Say what you will about the Kansas City Chiefs, they've had a number of off the field issues, you know, stemming from Andy Reid's family members, whatever. I don't think Rashee Rice is multi-game suspension. No. They're saying, I think it's going to be 2 to 4 games. The Chiefs will be fine. And I think Rashee Rice is actually a pretty good receiver. Now, maybe they really like a Xavier Worthy or a Franklin, and they take him here, so. But I like your angle on Rakestraw.
I think that's the fantasy nerds putting those receivers in the, I think those are second round receivers, period.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, we probably should have gone Kool-Aid to Kansas City so we could recycle the Andy Reid Kool-Aid meme. But yeah, Rakestraw from Missouri. I do. And I think just from a, like, what, if you're looking at a position to lock in that fifth year option, I don't think you're finding that stud receiver here. That's a lock that you're going to lock in. Look what you just did with a cornerback.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the move. That's like the worst case scenario too. So I think you take the cornerback over the receiver for sure.
Enos Rakestraw, local kid. So yeah, that makes sense. Cornerback, Missouri.
Yeah, like the local kid angle.
Brian. Yes. Oh man, I'm just jacked for the draft. It's going to be awesome. Of course, make sure you tune in to our Thursday night draft party, youtube.com/sportsgivenpodcast.
Please.
going to give out some SGPN gift cards. And also, while we're looking ahead towards the football season, never too early to get you signed up with a official football contest proxy. That's right. You heard us talk about it all the time. Circa Million, Circa Survivor. Love those contests. Again, you have chance to win millions of dollars. Takes place out in Las Vegas. Oh, hey, you don't live in the state of Nevada? Not a problem. Sign up in Vegas. All you have to do is show up once to sign up. And then you hire a proxy to submit your picks every week for Survivor, for the Circa Millions. And we teamed up with footballcontestproxy.com. Got a sweet deal here. If you use the promo code SGP, you can save $50 off your proxy fees. That is a nice plus EV opportunity if I ever heard one. So go to footballcontestproxy.com, use the promo code SGP, get you set up over there, and get ready for contest season, Ryan, right around the corner. And now talking a little NBA best bets, a little playoff basketball. Joining us on the line from the NBA gambling podcast himself, Mr. Munaf, the machine, Manji. Munaf, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Just watching a little NBA playoffs.
Yes.
We caught him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. No, you're good.
Munaf mic'd himself or muted himself, Manji, there. For a second.
We caught him. You know what it was? He was off while he was probably watching the game. He's probably probably watching your Sixers having their way with the Knicks.
Yeah, Sixers no are chance, up early.
No chance for a comeback.
Knock on wood, the Magic also come back down 14 at half. Real quick, NFL draft. Munaf, your Texans not picking in the first round. Don't have a first round pick. No. Any big draft plans for the Texans? What do you need them to do?
I think offensive line. It's not a bad bad place to start for this Texans team. Obviously, you know, when you have a young franchise quarterback, you know, your first job is to get one and then to protect him. Right. And I think that for the Texans, I think that should be priority. Maybe we could get some secondary help as well. I know at the front seven, we're pretty good there. And we addressed the skill positions, which was my biggest concern coming into this offseason, picking up Stephon Diggs. If it's for a year or maybe beyond that, we'll see Joe Mixon as well. So I think a secondary, I know we did get Derek Stingley Jr. couple drafts ago, but I think we could use a couple more guys in that secondary. But other than that, I mean, you can always use depth. Again, offensive line, a lot of turnover there, guys getting injured and things like that. But, you know, my biggest concern would be, hey, we got to protect CJ Stroud because we finally have a quarterback. So I think that's the direction I think the Texans will go.
Oh, that's a shot at Matt Schaub if I ever heard one.
Oh, right. Wow.
Never had a quarterback.
One great season was when Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator and he got him a Pro Bowl appearance. Other than that, I mean, we've gone through David Carr, Matt Schaub, Deshaun Watson for a couple seasons until he wanted a, I'll keep it G-rated, but you know. but yeah, again,
I'm not touching Matt Schaub was good.
Him and Andre Johnson.
That was when Kramer was peak Texans fandom.
Andre Johnson was electric.
He was. Oh, yeah. I mean, they had some great battles. All right. Tuesday night's action. First up, we got the Suns at the T-Wolves. Suns catching 3 points. Do we have a zigzag here, or do the T-Wolves win and cover once again here, Munaf?
Yeah, this was on the one series. I know we talked about it when we did the previews. Was the one of the series that I was struggling with.
What? Suns Timberwolves is tomorrow, Ryan.
Oh, what the? Why is it all sorted all fucked up?
I don't know. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at a sports
NBA guy. No,
I'm sorry.
I know ball.
Continue.
Come on.
Continue.
I just feel like this is a series that we saw in game one that the Phoenix Suns defense shockingly was struggling. They were improved into the final stretch of the regular season there. But I think in game one, it was Kevin Durant and nobody else really stepped up for this Phoenix Suns team, right? Devin Booker, I think, will bounce back. I do like his points prop in game two. If you're a player prop better like myself, you'll get on the over 24.5.
Yeah.
But I do think this will be a closer game. Anthony Edwards was an absolute maniac. I mean, he was talking his shit to Kevin Durant and Kevin Durant was kind of smirking there, giving him his props. You know, he's going to be the next big guy in the NBA. But I think it starts on the defensive side. And if you see the Phoenix Suns struggling within those first couple minutes against this Minnesota Timberwolves offense, I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves cover this number again. So I'll take the Minnesota Timberwolves here minus a three. I would not be surprised here, guys, if all the home teams won here and this gets to deciding game seven.
Is the zigzag broken?
I like the I'll take the Suns actually, because I do think Kevin Durant didn't shoot that well. I feel like Timberwolves may have unloaded everything they had in that first game, and I think the Suns, kind of a veteran team, were fine to give away game one, save it for game two, knowing they just need to steal one. And I think they're going to be ready to go. I'll actually take the Suns plus three. Not going to lock it up. Kramer, what are you doing?
So the zigzag's not dead.
I'm believing in the zigzag, but you know, Moonoff is the host of the NBA Gambling Podcast, Ryan. So
I like the zigzag. It seems like it's been broken, or it's not going to work this year. I'm on the Suns. I'm just going to fade the Timberwolves. There's a couple teams who have broken me over the years. Timberwolves are one of them.
Yeah, still a little skeptical of the Timberwolves here. What about Pacers at the Bucks? Pacers catching a point. Do we know if Giannis is going to play? This line would suggest that he is still out. Pacers kind of got worked, but then made a nice little run there late. How say you on Pacers Bucks?
Yeah, I think Giannis will continue to be out for game two. There's no reason to bring him back because they did get game one, right? And it was in convincing fashion for the Milwaukee Bucks, led by Damian Lillard. I think that's why they traded for him, to have a guy next to Giannis. In the case was Giannis was going to be out, you know, we saw what Damon was able to do. And historically, he's been really good in his career. There you go. Yeah.
Dame time.
That's what it was. And the depth really stepped up for this Milwaukee Bucks team. We talk about Chris Middleton, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley bringing that defensive intensity, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis. So this team is a lot deeper than Indiana Pacers, where it's really two guys that you're relying on to score the points for you. And they weren't really able to do that. So if the Milwaukee Bucks really shut down Halliburton and Pascal Siakam again, or Pascal Siakam had a good game, but Hallie wasn't that great, I just feel like the depth is going to be too much for this Indiana Pacers team. So I'm back on the Bucks. I think they take a 2-0 lead. And at that point, you still don't need to bring Giannis back. So I think behind that home crowd, I think Milwaukee gets it done again.
What kind of weird sorcery is going on here? Explain this one to me. All the money is coming in on all the bets are coming in on the Bucks. The money's coming in on the Pacers. The spread's tiny. I understand what just happened in game one, but why are we not just running it back? Seems obvious. Seems very obvious.
You're taking the Pacers, Ryan?
No.
Okay. I'm going Bucks. I still think and we'll see, you know, assuming they go down 2-0, I still think the Pacers have a shot in this series, and I might hop in. But for game two, that home crowd, that home environment did really carry them. I didn't expect to see that out of Dame game one, so hats off to him. And I think it gave some confidence. So, yeah, Bucks, yep. I think laying one is the way to go.
Yeah, Pacers being plus 140 on the series, it just seems silly.
Yeah. Dallas Mavericks versus the LA Clippers. Mavericks laying 2.5. Clippers plus 2.5 point home dog. Again, this would suggest that Kawhi is still out. Russell Westbrook came in, played really well. Your buddy James Harden, Moonoff was balling out. Yeah. Luka couldn't hit a shot to save his life. Mavericks go down. Do they bounce back?
I did see that Kawhi just got upgraded to questionable. Is the latest. I don't anticipate him playing. But if he does end up playing in this game, I'm going to be on the Mavericks. Anytime you see that star player return, it really disrupts the offensive flow, especially in a basketball game, right? Because like you mentioned, Sean, James Harden had a great game. Russell Westbrook had a great game. Paul George was pretty good. Zubac, their starting center, was outstanding as well. So I feel like if they get Kawhi back here and they're going to try to force him the ball and trying to get that rust off of him, it might mess up the offensive flow for the LA Clippers. And then on the flip side, I mean, it can't get any worse in that second quarter for the Dallas Mavericks. So they only scored 8 points. Especially when you have a game and players like Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic on your team, right?
And Luka did put up 33, but if you watch that, it was like they really padded their stats late. He was 4-12 from three. It was not a good game.
Yeah, so I think that the Mavericks will definitely shoot better in this game.
Yeah.
If they don't win this game, it's going to be very difficult to beat this Clippers team 4 out of 6 times. I mean, historically, they've been terrible in blowing leads, but that was when Doc Rivers was the head coach. But I think this is a spot where the Mavericks do bounce back. I think you do
get contributions. It's a must win for the Mavs.
100%. And I think they shoot better in this game. I do expect Josh Green on the Dallas side to get more minutes because he was really a menace on the defensive side. So expect him to play a couple more minutes here for this Dallas Mavericks team. But I do think Luka, Kyrie bounce back in this game. I think they even up the series heading back to Dallas for game 3.
Love it. Yeah, I'm with you. I like the Mavs here.
Two favorites and a dog seems about right. Yeah, Dallas. Dallas, Milwaukee, and Phoenix.
That's yeah, and for me, Dallas. Oh,
we
is the
copied
lock.
Each other.
Huh? Dallas is the lock. Suns. I do think money line dog. Moonoff, if you had a lock for these Tuesday games, what are you doing?
I think it's Dallas for me as well. Again, I just think that
let's go. Dallas doesn't
shoot
suck.
Better. Yeah, Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, Dallas. Oh, to clarify. Right.
I guess I'll do the same. I mean, I was gonna say. I'll do something different just to not jinx it. Let's just lock up Milwaukee because come on. Did you watch the game?
Like that.
Fear the deer.
Did you watch the game?
No, I got cute with the Pacers, I think.
They don't watch they're not watching the game. Whoever's model is telling you to bet the Pacers didn't watch the game.
No. Did not look good there. Moonoff, thanks for hopping on here. Make sure you subscribe to the NBA Gambling Podcast. They go in depth covering the entire NBA playoffs and give him a follow on the old X at SportsNerd824. And remember, tune in for the live draft watch party on Thursday night.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, Sack of the Money Green. He's Ryan.
We will allow Moonoff to join us, even though the Texans don't have a pick.
Kramer, let it ride.